hanging out at Hooters, Taj Mahal Hooters, guys, right here at the Mall of Georgia. Lots of our listeners coming in, hanging out. What do you call it, man? A drive-by when they come in, have a beer,
yeah,
hang out,
man,
for a little bit?
Vern came by. My dude right here, this guy, came all the way from where I live in Sharpsburg. Came all the way up here on his day off.
Thank you, man.
Big old Miss fan. He's a good guy. Thank you. But, yeah, man, it's really cool. And Jerome is out here trying to pick a fight with somebody. Nobody's arguing with him today.
Yeah. Give it time. Hey, reminder, football coverage on 92.9 The Game is presented by Xfinity. Score the most reliable Wi-Fi. One price, 5 years guaranteed. Xfinity, imagine that. As we took in practice today, there is a lot to report, guys. And you heard Bijan signs his deal. I mean, coming to an agreement is one thing, but it becomes official once you sign it. So the Falcons put that out there early this morning. And Mike, today, you know, you said it, the physicality of the practice, I thought it was good coming off of the Jalen Walker injury. Sometimes, you know, you see stuff happen, and it's certainly not the first time guys have been playing all their lives to see injuries, but you're a little apprehensive. You know, you come back out the next day, you're like, hey, man, don't go down like that. Don't touch me there. You know, it's like, hey, this is football. And weirdness sometimes happen, and you got to get used to that contact. So today it was good to see that. 11-on-11, I thought they got some really good work. And as far as, again, what stood out to us today, what was the thing that stood out to you? Because I got to say this, and I'm probably saying it every day. This damn Zachariah Branch, y'all, he's just getting open at will. I mean, like, and the thing is, yeah, he had a drop today and one across the middle. Where
he had a fumble.
It hit him, and I'm like, okay, Zach, catch that. But the thing is, his quick twitch, Mike, and his craftiness to get open, I'm just telling you guys, wait till the season starts. You're going to be like, damn, it feels like Zach is open every damn play.
He really is. And Day-Day and I were talking about this. The way he runs the route, so crisp. I mean, that's the kind. That's why they needed to get – I don't care. Well, he threw it to him 8 times. Throw it to him 15 times if you're Georgia. Okay? I mean, he was the ultimate weapon. But, yeah, he fumbled, and then he's right in front of us, and he's smacking himself in the head. He's like, ah, and he's yelling when he put it on the ground. But that was few and far between for Zach in this camp. He's been money. Speaking of great plays, near the end of practice, a crossing route from Tua to Alamide Zaccheaus, who then took it to the house, and then Bijan was dapping him up, and everybody kind of got fired up by the old guy. Taking it to the house with, again, in a real tackling, taking guys to the ground situation.
Yeah, look, they did some situational football, which it's all situational, to be honest with you. But, for example, 3rd and 6. You know, 3rd and 6. What are we doing? How are we moving the football? How are we going to get the first down? So it was good today. I thought they got in some good work, man. But obviously still reeling over the injury to Jalen Walker. We're going to come talk about who might replace him. And when I say that, it may be more than one guy, guys. It may not just be one guy. We may have a rotation of guys that ultimately do all the things that Jalen was doing for this football team. But we'll talk about that coming up here in about 20 minutes. 404-726-0929. Some great texts coming in regard to the Michael Penix interview, Mike. And I was looking at some of them. And, guys, look, again, I just want him to be confident.
Right.
That's all
and that's,
I'm saying.
And that's why, because one guy hit us up like, well, Penix is damned if you do, damned if you don't with you guys. No, I'm not saying I want Penix to create a quarterback controversy and say, this is my job. But I got no problem with a guy saying, this is my job. You know? Hey,
right.
Man, Tua, we're battling. It goes, and I know that when I get up on that field and they clear me, I'm going to win this job.
That's it.
There's nothing wrong with saying that.
No.
Because, I mean, that's the nature of competition. And I'm not saying that, like, Michael has somehow been cowed by this experience. But when we talk to him, everything just kind of seems like it's same things he's been saying in the media scrums. It's kind of, well, when I get ready and, you know, I got to be careful. I'm like, as you said, is the aggressive, the posture you want to hear? I don't know. I've never walked a mile in his shoes. You have to go through everything he's gone through injury-wise. But, man, and I even tried to give him some outs. I'm like, and look, he was respectful of his previous coaching staff. I was like, man, I was at that Berlin game. You're like, give me the blanket play. Yeah, you know, he wouldn't take the bait on Zach.
Yeah, because you wanted him to say Zach was a clown show.
But I did say it seems like this group of coaches staff is going to give you a better opportunity, put you in a better position.
I feel that way.
And he did kind of agree with that. But, again, he's not going to be disrespectful to guys he worked with for 2 years.
Yeah, I do feel that. You know, and look, it's just like your job. You know, when you come home and talk to your wife or your people, your boys or whatever, and you're like, man, I work with this guy or that girl or whatever the situation is, and you tell them how you really feel, Mike, I'm sure Michael Penix has had those conversations about what has happened with this offense over the last few years. And he knows how it needs to be better. But I do think the tools are going to be there for him to be very successful this upcoming season.
Right.
Hey, man, it's Dukes and Bell. We're live at Hooters. Come on through. A little bit later on this hour, we'll find out what is on Day-Day's mind. Also, real quick, let's just mention this before we get into some other NFL stuff, because Stephon Diggs has found a new home, and there's other news going on around the league. The Braves win last night. And it's funny because it's almost as if some Braves fans are like, see? Relax. Regular season baseball is different than playoff baseball, number one. Number two, it doesn't change the fact that I still don't think we did everything we could have done at the trade deadline because we won last night, okay? Three, consistency. I need to see us be consistent on offense, Mike, and more importantly, with this pitching staff, whoever's going to be thrown out there.
Right.
So, and so, hey, we're not against the Braves. Don't be silly. We love this team. We want them to be successful. But we were in a situation where we thought the general manager could have helped the team more. He did what he thought he needed to do. Let's hope it's enough. But if it's not, don't call the show come October and saying, oh, well, you know, if they only would have did more at the trade deadline, because that's the only thing we're saying.
Look, keep the receipts if you want, man. I just thought there was too many guys who went into immediate company man tap dance mode of, oh, they're still in first place. Hey, they can do it. You know, no, guys, let's be real. Why can't you ever stack the deck in your favor? Yes, we know spending the most money is no guarantee of success. If so, the Dodgers or Yankees, Mets, Red Sox would win every year. I get that. And 2021, you were clutch. Look, if the best team on paper won, Tony La Russa would have 7 World Series rings.
That's right.
Okay?
That's right.
You know, Jim Leland might have had 4 or 5. Bobby Cox should have had 15. You know what I mean? If you want to talk about the best team, because the Braves, for that great, amazing run, were one of the top 3 teams in baseball every stinking year. So, no, it doesn't always work out that way. But that's weak sauce to go, well, you know, the ball bounty is funny for everybody. We'll get him next year. How many times are you going to be 22 games in first place with a team which has shown an amazing resiliency, even with some of your best players not even performing? Certainly Austin Riley hasn't. Acuna's been hit or miss. And you've still found a way to get it done. Hell, you got a guy in a roster spot making $20 million, which is a hole in the ground in Ha-Seong Kim. And I can't wait to find his – go online one morning and find out that he's been released. Because, man, you got people now saying, hey, let's go get Ozuna. Ozuna's not hitting.
He got cut.
Okay? I mean, like, and by the way, you got enough tough enough roster spots that is with Dubon and with Jimmy Baseball. I mean, there's to go get more guys in here. All we ever said was this pitching staff does not do the job consistently enough. They don't get through the fifth or sixth inning. So guess who hears this?
Who?
Grant Holmes. And General Custer with his long hair. I love his look. Kenny Powers is like, you know, well, you know, they're talking about me. No blank, Sherlock.
Yeah.
So apparently Grant Holmes got irked and had one of his best outings as a Brave.
So we need to do that every day?
So I said on Twitter, I say, stay ticked off, man. If that's what fuels you, we need you to do more than 4 1/3. And I go, he's gotten through 6 innings before, but this was arguably Grant Holmes' best start as a Brave.
Yeah,
pitcher.
I whatever motivates you. I think the motivation for the great ones comes through how they approach the game.
Right.
But if you need us or somebody else to say, you suck and we need you to be better, we'll say it every day. That's fine. But, Mike, this is the Grant Holmes we need. If we're going to do something, this is the Grant Holmes we need. 404-726-0929. Braves win last night. We'll let you hear more about that win and as they get ready for another matchup with the Marlins. Meanwhile, other things going on around the NFL. Let's get to 4th and 1. So I guess the theory is you keep knocking at the door, you eventually kick it in. The famous Bum Phillips line, right?
Right.
Where the Oilers couldn't get past the Steelers all those years in the late 70s, early 80s, and he kept saying, we're going to kick it in. They never did. They came close. But that's where Josh Allen is, Mike, and he was talking about this team, new stadium, new coach, new opportunity.
Been in the playoffs a lot of times in the last, you know, however many years I've been here now, and you know, just continuing to find ways to learn from it. And I think that's it's a hard pill to swallow sometimes because we haven't gotten it done. But you knock enough at the door, it's going to open at some point. And that's just what we have to keep doing is keep knocking on that door and giving ourselves chances to be in that situation again.
Right on.
Yeah.
Get her done.
The Bills should be good again. They should be back in the mix. I think you said it. The most frustrating thing is last year with no, you know, Mahomes and all the things that played out.
Bo Nix getting knocked out of the box. I mean, this was your window. The game they lost, and again, there were some funky calls in that game too.
Yeah.
But, I mean, it is what it is. But the Bills, they've got to be kicking themselves for going into Denver and not bringing the W home.
Meanwhile, Micah Parsons, he's with the Packers now. He's not a Cowboy, duh. But he is coming off of an injury, guys. He was asked about his timeline because everybody's saying, when are you going to return to the field?
I think it's very realistic. I just got to put the work in. We got to get to the point where I'm feeling great and we all say, Micah, you'll be in a really good phase. Is it possible? Yes. At the same time as in these next, wait, how many weeks is that? Like, is it 10, 12 weeks from now? We got to do our part to make it possible. But, you know, it's not off the board, but we got to put the work in.
Man, it's kind of like what we just talked about, our conversation with Michael Penix Jr.
Yeah.
Rehab sucks.
It does. It does. Because there's no end, man. I mean, even right. when you're cleared, sometimes are you fully ready? You know, we talk about this, like these rehab starts for pitchers. Hey, he's back. Well, not really. He's got to go throw a couple of games before he's actually back in the bigs. And for Micah Parsons, that's a big piece. Remember, that was a huge trade for Green Bay. They thought that was going to take him over the top.
Right.
I think Green Bay will be good again this year, but Parsons has got to get back.
Yeah, no way of knowing what the injury was going to be. But, you know, at the time, I think I was killing Jerry Jones. I wasn't the only guy in the media doing that. But Jerry, you know, you can never foresee an injury like that. But they got a nice defensive tackle piece in return, and they got draft picks. Now what's Jerry going to do with it?
Yeah. What is he going to do? Hey, man, Caleb Williams, Mike, if you had the first pick in fantasy, would you have taken him? If you got the first pick in your fantasy league, you taking Caleb Williams?
Ooh.
Exactly. I think he's going to have a monster
not
year.
Not yet.
Okay.
Not yet.
I think he's going to have a monster year because he can pick him up and put him down.
Yes, he can.
He may score 5 or 6 touchdowns in the red zone just running. Here's what he said about having more confidence this year for the Bears.
Been in this league for 2 years, but also playing. I played a bunch of games now, and so I know what losing looks like. I know what winning looks like in this league. We haven't won the big one yet, but you know, we won a bunch of games last year. We lost a lot of games my first year, and then now having year two in the offense, a lot more confidence in what I'm saying to the guys out there. It's starting to sound more like the coaches, the steps, the alignments, and things like that. So just finding ways to be more on top of that, you know, day in and day out.
I've had Lamar Jackson. I've taken him on a flyer way too early.
Okay.
I don't take quarterbacks down to the 6th round in fantasy.
Terrible, terrible philosophy.
If you can still get a Matthew Stafford, you take Matthew Stafford in the 6th round.
You've locked
up your running backs and your wide receivers and your tight end, brother.
In the 6th round?
Sound fantasy football.
Oh, man.
Damn right I did.
I got to get the quarterback early.
Hey, man, I won it the other year with Jared Goff. Won my league.
Who are your running backs?
The best. I had Bijan. And I had Jahmyr Gibbs.
Oh, yeah. Well, of course. Yeah. If you're able to do that.
And this year I'm on the turn. It's pick 10 and 11.
Uh-oh.
Watch out.
Uh-oh.
Shenanigans. You want back in the shenanigans?
No. I don't have the time, man, honestly.
Come on.
I had to cut it out because I don't have the time, man.
It took me 12 years to win the stinking league that I created.
Hey, man, if you're just joining us again, also today, Stephon Diggs is going to join the Commanders.
Right.
So
they could have had Crazy Ayuk. They decided to go with Crazy but Good in Diggs.
That's a good way to put it. He's Crazy but Good. All right, when we come back, who's going to fill the void? Andy and Randy talk to a guy that might help out in that area. We're live at Hooters. It's Dukes and Bell. How are we going to fill the void of losing a Jalen Walker? It's Dukes and Bell. We're live at Hooters, guys. Hanging out after practice today, and they will be off tomorrow. We are back in studio, and then Friday they're back at it at Flowery, and of course we'll be back here at Mall of Georgia Hooters. Mike, just looking at the guys on the roster, right? Samson Ebukam, Braylon Trice, who you spoke with, I think, last week, Cameron Thomas, Azeez Ojulari. We've spoken about all these guys when we signed them, and we were both like, okay, these are pretty much one-year deals. Yeah,
prove-it deals or an opportunity, you know, to at least get a contract, if not with the Falcons, somewhere else if you ball out this year.
And all these guys have been rotating in and out. Now, this was kind of happening, just to be honest with you, as we were going through camp, even before Jalen got hurt. So I can't tell you that we have a real sense of what the rotation is going to be like, because I think they're trying to still figure out who can do what, okay?
Right.
So, but Trice is going to get – he's going to get some snaps. He's going to get some run. Cameron Thomas has been in and out with the starters, okay?
The
first group.
Guy played for the Colts. I think most Falcon fans maybe not familiar with him, but he looks – if nothing else, he looks the part.
Yes.
Right? He looks like he could be a Bosa brother, doesn't he?
He does. He's a big dude. Azeez has been in there as well, and then we said it. You know, Samson is getting run as well. So, look, I don't know if we have the answer right now. I don't know if they have the answer, to be honest with you, how they're going to deal with – okay, here's the injured player in Walker. Here's what we were expecting to get from Walker and how we were going to use him. Who can do that? Who can do this? Who can do this? It may not be one dude. And so down a distance, situational football, Ebukam, you get in there. Right. Cameron, you're in there. I mean, we don't know, Mike, because I don't think there's one guy that can do or is as good right. as Jalen Walker was.
No, it's funny. We got to see some dog-on-dog violence today when you had Cash Jones and Channing Tindall trying to tackle him. You know, but you got a bunch of guys. We lost D'Angelo Malone. We talked about him. He's done for the season, unfortunately. Anderson looks like he's never going to be on the field again for this team. So that always seemed like a pipe dream at best. So it gets back to the guys you mentioned. You know, these guys that were brought in on one-year kind of prove-it deals. You know, we've not talked a lot about Christian Harris. I think he's doing the job they're asking of him.
I do, too. I think he's doing a really good job.
And we haven't said anything about Devine. I mean, again, they're rotating in so quickly, and, you know, it's hard to get the rhythm of – we're learning what a Stefanski practice session is like, too. You know, as we said today, they're getting after it. After we brought the team together, as we said, especially in light of what happened to Jalen Walker, like, hey, let's get our heads right, and let's get after it, and they did today. I mean, look, can they get more out of J.D. Bertrand? He was kind of really stuck in the mud trying to get the crossing routes. And, you know, anytime, you know, when we lost Devine Diablo, he just couldn't do some of those things you needed him to do.
Yeah, I'll be honest. I mean, I haven't seen a lot of J.D. in the rotations. He's out there.
Right.
But it's been Harris and Perkins and these guys, these kids we drafted, Mike. Some of them are getting more run. And I think that, look, this is just me. Speed. It has to do with guys that can cover and be out there.
Right.
And look, the thing I think everybody's looking for is three down backers. You don't need a guy. This idea of, all right, he's in on first down because they may run the ball.
Right. The over-specialization.
Yeah, man. I just feel like – but we'll see how the rotation shakes out. All right, speaking of edge, Andy and Randy had a chance to catch up with Samson Ebicom, and they talked to him today. I don't know, again, what his role is going to be, but they asked him, how's his time been so far here in the ATL?
Oh, it's different. It's different. The weather's different. A little bit warmer.
Sure.
Yeah.
What about the coaching staff thus far? How do you feel like you're fitting in with the culture? How do you feel like they're fitting in with you? How's that going?
I feel like it's going pretty good. Everybody's kind of hard-nosed, you know, trying to run to the ball, trying to just hit people, you know. So the coaches love it, too. They love the energy that we're putting out on the field, so. We're just trying to do the little things right because we know in the big moments is gonna count.
What has it been like being with Brick again?
Oh man, it's great. It's great. He tries to simplify everything for us. You know, he tries to simplify it just so that we can play faster. Because the faster we play, the more we can get to the ball. You know, see ball, get ball.
Obviously, nobody ever wants to have a situation like happened yesterday at practice. Mm. When that takes place. During training camp, during practice, you're out there. What's going through your mind when you see that with Jalen Walker?
I mean, I can only imagine how he's feeling. Like, I've had that sort of things kind of happen with a few years ago with an Achilles. It was during training camp as well. So I definitely know what's going on in his mind right now, but I know that he's going to come back stronger for sure. I was telling him when it was happening. I was like, hey, right. God don't make mistakes, you right. feel me? So this is going to be a testimony for you when you come back. So just keep your head on God. Keep on going. He got a good head on his shoulder, so he's going to be just all right.
Tell me about this pass rush group because, I mean, obviously he's down. You got James Pierce yourself, Braylon Trice, gentlemen, guys like that. Tell me, what's going on for Falcon fans to know about this pass rush group?
Man, we're trying to go after the quarterback, man. That's the simple fact. We're trying to get after the quarterback, get off the rock. Just run into a dark room, like Coach Nate and T-Mo will be saying. Just run into a dark room, basically. Just don't read nothing. Just take off. You know what I'm saying?
So, no. It's a hell of a key.
But, yeah, we're all trying to get after the passer. You know, we got a good group. You know what I'm saying? Every one of us works really well together. So, we're trying to go.
When you're, you know, when you're in the off season and you're thinking about where you're going to play, are you looking at the Falcons and the 57 sacks that they had last year?
Oh,
and the,
yeah.
Yeah, that's a contributor to why you wanted to be here?
Yeah, definitely. I wanted to be here just to – I mean, first off, I played pretty good with Coach Nate as the D-line coach, and I came in and I met Timu. He was like, oh, yeah, we're trying to get off the rock. And I talked to Brick. He's like, hey, you're going to get after the quarterback. I said, bet. You ain't got to tell me twice.
I love it.
So it's really fun.
Are you doing any inside stiff and sub?
You know, I think I might.
Right.
I might. I'm not exactly sure, but – shoot, man.
Wherever.
Just plug me in.
What have you seen from your perspective, obviously, on the other side of the ball defensively? I know it's been weird with the quarterbacks kind of being limited and injured in Penix's case, unable to do 11-on-11. But what have you seen from the quarterbacks so far during camp?
Man, they're making decisions fast. You know, they're making decisions real fast. And I'm liking that because that just means that they're seeing things faster. So. And they're not really yeah, they're not really holding the ball too long. So it gets us better because we got to get there quicker.
What about the other guys on the defense? Because obviously you're in the room with the outside linebackers and things like that, but talk about Devon Diablo and those type of guys. We love Perk. Mm-hmm. Perk, that is one of our favorite players because we cover him college mm-hmm. football. Mm-hmm. But tell us about this defense, this room collectively.
Everybody's working real well together. Everybody's being able to adjust on a run, you know what I'm saying? Because you're not always going to have the perfect call for whatever it is that the offense has. So right. Just being able to just adjust on the run, play our rules, and just play fast, you know. So that's one thing I'm picking up from the defense is people are playing fast. They're thinking fast, and they're just going.
Samson Ebicom joining us here on the Midday Show with Andy and Randy. My mom went to Eastern Washington University.
Oh, very nice.
Fellow Eagle. Red Field, right?
Yeah, Red Field, yeah.
Is that weird?
It was at first, but you get used to it. Yeah, you get used to it.
Are you from that area?
I'm from Portland, Oregon.
Oh,
Portland,
okay. Yeah. A Trailblazer fan? Trailblazer fan?
You know, I used to be, and then my older brother became a Kobe Bryant fan, so I've been a Laker fan since.
Look at you. Wow. That's betrayal.
Yeah. Blazers fans kind of hate the Lakers.
Nah, they got Ja now, so you know what I'm saying? They're going to have a little crowd coming up here.
Yeah. That's kind of fun. I worked in Portland for a couple years. Loved it. Mm-hmm. I hope that that guy doesn't move the Blazers out of town. Seems like he's trying to.
I don't think.
I hope not.
If the Blazers get out of town, bro, ain't nothing going to be left in Portland. I'm sorry, bro. I mean, they got a soccer team, but that's really going to be.
Right.
That's right. They do have
Yeah, they do. Fair enough. Samson, we appreciate the
appreciate
time.
Appreciate you, dog.
Thank you so much.
Thank you so much.
Good luck with everything. Thanks so much for the time.
Man, Samson's cool as a fan, ain't
yeah.
he?
Yeah, laid back. Said he talked to Brick. Brick was like, you'll get after the quarterback? Bet. You ain't got to tell me nothing else.
Right.
Okay, let's do it.
Right on. I like that they're about Portland. It's pretty funny. It's like, what's your favorite restaurant in Portland? One that still has windows? but, yeah, that was a couple years ago. But, yeah, and there's a pause. That owner's a real But, anyway, but he's a guy, Carl, who's going to have a shot. He's 31 years of age, so, you know, not exactly a spring chicken. But he has had the ability to compile 35 sacks in his NFL career. 2 years ago in Indy, 9.5 sacks.
All right, man. Look, we need all the help right now we can get. The uncertainty. Once we know if James Pierce is going to be out there – okay, that takes a little bit off.
Right.
But right now, the uncertainty of that and with Jalen being out, we need all the help, man. We need everybody to step up. Hey, coming up, what is on Day Day's mind? Also, we'll get to the dog report. As Kirby spoke today, yeah, dog fans, it's that time. We're getting ready for fall camp, getting ready for the upcoming season. And more on the Braves, guys, as Grant Holmes had a great outing last night. Can they continue to do this with the starters we currently have? It's Dukes and Bell. It is Dukes and Bell, guys. We are live at Hooters Mall of Georgia location, hanging out with our listeners, who we absolutely love. They come in, and they're always rowdy and, of course, wanting to accommodate us, Mike, and
yes,
take care of the crew. So,
so
we appreciate you
don't
guys.
Don't give the radio host drinks. Well, you know, within anything else, moderation. Thank you.
Can we do that, though?
Kinda.
Moderation?
Not really.
No.
Not really my strong suit.
Yeah, I was going to say. You know. I was going to say. It's hard.
Hey, man, more guys on the text line. I know we're going to get to Day-Day talking about the Braves. Most guys agree with us and our position yesterday. They thought we struck the right chord as far as our position on what the Braves didn't do at the trade deadline. And now, as you said, now am I going to sit there and rant and rave for the next 3 weeks about it? No. Die is cash.
It's over.
Let's go see what they do. And if they don't and they don't get it done.
Fire sale.
Thank you. That's what I said after Ronald Acuna went down in 2021. And needless to say, they surprised everybody and won a World Series. If this team can win a World Series with this rotation, I mean, that would be right up there with 2021.
Okay, I'm going to just tell you. It'll be amazing.
Well, it would be a minor miracle.
This is certainly, in my opinion, not a World Series rotation. It's just not. We'll see what happens. Maybe right. The bullpen picks us
hey,
up.
Hey, look, I mean, if we're gonna do bullpen starts for the rest of the playoffs, the problem is you've got to get your bullpen across the finish line without burning out them out. That's why it was so big for Grant Holmes to have such a nice outing last night.
Yeah.
Things like that help.
Grant was good last night.
Right.
Grant was good.
Irked Grant is good Grant.
Hey, whatever it takes. All right, man. Day-Day, what's going on today, man?
Hey,
what's
man,
on your mind?
Happy Wednesday. Got to give a shout-out to Coach Perry of Flowery Branch High School. So, of course, they're across the street from the Falcons facility. And I got up there super early this morning because I just was like – that back now that even more counties and areas are back in school.
Yeah.
I was like, I don't even want to play around. And I get up there and I hear, you know, whistling. And I was like, let me walk over there and see what's going on. And they literally wrap up football practice, the football team there. So shout out to Coach
Perry.
What
time they start? 5:30?
6 a.m.
Okay.
Wow.
Yeah,
okay.
6 a.m.
I'm not a morning person.
Don't be late.
Yeah.
Man, that's rough.
Yeah, and so.
Do you ever have a coach do morning practices?
Oh, yeah. Yeah, absolutely.
I mean, especially when we so yeah. in
But I'm
California,
saying mornings. I'm saying like 9 a.m. I'm not talking early.
Early, yeah.
Oh, wow.
When, in California, when two-a-days was a thing for high school, we had Hell Week.
Right.
And so there was the early a.m. practice and then the
afternoon
practice.
Right.
So,
right.
But just wanted to give them a shout-out. They're getting ready. They got a scrimmage tomorrow against Seckinger, and then they will open their regular season in about 2 weeks against Cass. And we were talking about – so one of their players from last year's team
right.
is actually one of Georgia's wide receivers, Trey Shields. And I don't know if you guys remember – me telling you
he
about him.
He signed late, didn't he?
Yeah, he only played 1 year.
Yeah.
He was a very late commit flip. They flipped him, and he played 1 year of high school football, and that was his senior year. He was a basketball kid.
And now he's at Georgia.
And, yeah, it's just he's just one of those kids that's just – he's just an athlete. And, you know, Coach – there's a write-up where Coach Shields – I mean, Coach Perry is like he didn't go to camps. He wasn't, like, going all of these 7-on-7. He's just – got the size and he's an athlete, and sure enough Kirby and them saw enough in him to where he's in Athens now, and Coach Perry was saying that he's hearing a lot of good things about him up there. So
all right,
just wanted to show them some
that's
love
good.
And
that's
whatnot.
Good yeah.
Hey, by the way, coming up Thursday, is it Wednesday? What the, when are we doing this high
next game? Wednesday and
next
Thursday.
Wednesday and Thursday, prepare yourself, Carl, as Dukes and Bell do high school football.
Yeah, Corky Kell, man. Yeah. I think we get a game on Wednesday and Thursday.
Yeah.
5 o'clock.
Yeah, so yeah. It'll be a lot of fun,
When's
man.
The last time you did play-by-play?
It's been ages for high school.
Yeah.
I'll tell you this. Part of it is, and you guys will hear it, they've got 80 kids out there.
Yeah.
Okay?
So do we have a spotter?
And they're rotating kids in and out. This is not like watching your favorite NFL team every Sunday where you know everybody.
Yeah.
So that's the hard part.
I was joking around with Day-Day yesterday. Last time I did high school football, remember Don Strock, the backup quarterback for the Dolphins?
Oh, sure.
We did like the Virginia game of the week, and it was like Pulaski versus Haswell. Anyway, so it's been a minute. But those skills, it's like riding a bike, Carl. They come right back to you.
But you know what we're going to do? We're going to have fun and deliver an entertaining broadcast to our listeners who are checking Corky Kell out. And again, it starts the season for high school football.
Yeah. It's such a great event.
It's such a big deal for Georgia.
All right. So, obviously, Bijan Robinson got his deal yesterday, and now all eyes in regards to running backs are on Jahmyr Gibbs and when he's going to get his deal. But
can I say something, too, real quick?
Mm-hmm.
Because we haven't dove into it because, honestly, it's boring for most of you. The structure of this deal is very beneficial to the Falcons.
Yep. Yeah.
And that only matters because, first of all, you took care of a guy you needed to take care of. But the way it's structured, I'm just telling you guys, this deal doesn't hurt us as an organization whatsoever.
No.
Right. Moving forward, we're going to be fine to take care of other guys and continue to build and add to this team.
Yeah.
And I just think that's important. Sometimes you go, damn, Drake got paid, Bergeron got paid, Bijan got paid. It's how you structure NFL deals.
Yes, right. Exactly. And it's also beneficial to a degree for Bijan because he may get a chance to get that second big contract before 30.
Yep.
Which is kind of like Logan's run. But after 30, that's why, remember, the Giants were fretting about Saquon all those years.
Yeah, some people say he took less than he should have. I don't feel that way.
Right.
I think he got 25 a year.
Guaranteed. And a bunch guaranteed.
And I'm right back at the negotiating table.
Right. Yeah.
Let me tell you something. He puts up MVP numbers this year or wins an MVP.
Yeah.
We go to playoffs next year. I'm just projecting.
Yeah.
Bijan's right back at the table.
Yep.
I mean, there's no reason. We can tear that last year up.
Yeah,
we can already. So that's the beauty of it. But, yes, I wanted to mention that because I think we haven't discussed it. Again, we can get into the minutia of what's guaranteed, you know, workout situation and bonuses.
Right.
But it's structured in a way that it helps the Falcons.
Yep. All right. But with that being said, obviously a lot of eyes now on Jahmyr Gibbs and what's going to happen with him and the Lions and his deal. Always found it funny or interesting that they got that interesting connection of Tashard Choice because he had a chance to coach both of them. He coached Jahmyr at Tech. And
he sure
he coached, obviously, Bijan at Texas.
Texas, yeah.
But Bijan was asked, about it. as far as, you know, Jahmyr getting his deal. And he's like, look, we talk a lot. We're in the same conversation. The Bijan Gibbs debate is cool to see. It actually helps us both out.
Okay.
So he thinks, you know, it sounds like he thinks Jahmyr, you know,
right.
like this whole situation of,
as
you know,
said,
how everybody
they've been in contact with each other.
Yeah,
it's cool.
You know,
cool.
how everybody was kind right. of speculating, like how it was like, oh, they're trying to wait each other out. So
right.
clearly this was a situation.
And then don't forget Jonathan Taylor.
Yeah, he should be up next. Speaking of Georgia Tech, ESPN put out an interesting article talking about, like, just everyone's strength of schedules. And they say they believe Georgia Tech is considered to have the toughest P4 non-conference schedule. Remember, they open up the season against Colorado and Tennessee, and then later in the year, of course, they've got Georgia. They believe Ohio State has the toughest overall
okay.
P4 schedule. But it's a really interesting article because, you know, they've got, believe it or not, they think that Texas Tech Raiders have the easiest overall Power 4
right.
schedule. They believe that Ohio State has the overall toughest Power 4 schedule. And it's not Indiana that they think has the easiest non-conference schedule. Want to take a stab at who you think it is? Because they don't think it's
okay.
Indiana, because we went over Indiana's
non-conference
right. schedule.
Is it a Big Ten team?
Miami?
It is a Big Ten team.
Oh.
I'm going to go
Michigan?
Or Penn State.
Nebraska.
Okay.
Oh, okay.
Yeah,
okay.
Nebraska.
Dylan Raiola just crapped all over Nebraska, by the way, in his media
yeah,
availability
that.
For
yeah.
Oregon. We'll talk more about that in Guy Talk. But yeah.
yeah, but it looks yeah. like they've got Howard, Western Kentucky, and North Texas.
Okay.
Okay.
So they're considered even easier than Indiana.
Right.
So.
Anytime you take down Kathy Ireland and Sinbad, Carl, you know you're going to –
It's a good movie, man.
They scored a lot of points for me last year. I had a lot of overs on that with those guys
yeah.
last year.
It was a good movie.
Green Machine.
Yep. All right, so – the conversation may change a little bit when it comes to this, what I want to ask you as far as Kevin Stefanski goes in the Falcons. But I was wondering, I was looking at, we got a ton of new head coaches in
right
the on. NFL. And I was just wondering, who you guys think has the team that's set up for them to have the most success in year one? Obviously, we've got, again, Stefanski here.
Right.
Hold on, let me get back to my list if I can find it. Where'd it go? Oh, I lost
this is
it.
Your segment, Danny.
I know, and I'm terrible.
Don't go
this
Mitch Evans on me.
All right, here we go. Joe
I've
Brady.
I've got it. Wait, I
Joe,
found it. I
Joe,
found it.
Joe Brady in
Hold
Buffalo.
Hold on. Wait one.
Mike LaFleur in Arizona. Jesse Minter in Baltimore.
Okay.
I've got
Todd
it now.
Todd Monken in Cleveland.
Yes.
Clint Kubiak in
okay.
Vegas. Jeff Hafley in Miami. Harbaugh with the Giants. And then Mike McCarthy in Pittsburgh. And
right.
Salah in Tennessee.
Okay.
It's a lot, but
think
I was just kind
think about all that turnover.
I know that's
season.
A lot. But who do you feel? And like originally, I felt like Stefanski kind of really might kind of have a team that has him set up for some good success. But now,
the
I'm not gonna lie, the Jalen Walker thing
yes.
kind of really. Just,
and well, and the Pierce, as Carl just said, the Pierce
yeah,
thing's up in the air. Nobody
know.
Has any idea when that suspension's coming.
Yeah,
down.
Yeah.
So look, a team that has a lot of vets on it knows how to win. You exchange one, you know, veteran coach for another in Mike McCarthy, Pittsburgh.
Right.
Aaron Rodgers' last run. The irony is we start with them, so we'll get a chance to see them early here.
Right.
But if you were to ask me, look, Miami, complete rebuild.
Yep.
Arizona's not there, and I like Mike LaFleur. He's finally getting his chance. Great. These other coaches, you know, when we talk about Saleh, they drafted the quarterback. He's got to develop. They got some
right.
things going on there, but I'm not a believer that Tennessee is going to be better than the Houston Texans in that division
right.
or the Jacksonville Jaguars.
Right. Colts, now again, is Daniel Jones going to be able to play? I mean, he said he's ready and he'll be cleared, but is he going to be like, is he going to look like a statue like Kirk Cousins
yeah.
did at times last year?
And so,
or 2 years ago.
The coaches you're throwing out there, look, they all, this is going to be transition time for most of them. Mm-hmm. If we had the complete faith and knowledge of what our quarterback situation would be, I would
right.
tell you Kevin Stefanski, because I do think all these other pieces are in place.
Yes.
But the Jalen Walker thing is a big deal. You're right. But, yeah, I'm going to say Mike McCarthy just because of his experience. And, look, him and Aaron have been there together.
Yeah, that's true.
I'm going to say Jesse Minter with the Ravens.
With the Ravens?
Declan Doyle is the new OC. And, again, it's all about being on the same page with Lamar Jackson.
Yep.
And he said he's like a wizard, Carl, a wizard.
Okay, we'll see.
No, again, he hated Todd Monken. Well, a lot of people don't like Todd Monken.
Right.
You know, Gunnar Stagg, who's it? Stetson Bennett didn't like Todd Monken. But for what it's worth, now, again, I don't know how Minter's going to handle all this, but maybe there'll be a breath of fresh air and some of the guys in that locker room were over Harbaugh.
Yeah.
And things function. But, again, they've got to cut down on the turnovers, and that starts with Lamar Jackson.
Yeah. All right, guys, last thing I got. I feel really good and proud of myself. I think I may have given my oldest son the best advice ever in life yesterday.
Oh, okay.
So, Carl, I told you yesterday when we wrapped up at Flowery, I had to go pick him up, him and his young lady, young friend. They went to the movies.
Okay. Oh, wait, how old was he?
15.
Okay.
And so picked them up from the movies, and then I was giving her a ride to where – her older brother, not too far away from the theater where he was at, he's a professional taekwondo fighter.
Oh, wow.
Right? So
her brother?
Her brother. Okay. So
you say your son needs to be on his best behavior.
So I drive them up there, you know, we take her up there, and I'm like, hey, man, you're going to walk her in, right? And he's like, yeah. And I go, good. Don't get your ass kicked. That's what's on my mind, guys.
Yeah, exactly. Oh, my goodness. Hey, man, we are live at Hooters. Coming up, we're going to talk about the dogs because today they practiced. They weren't in pads, but Kirby is getting after it already. We'll give you the latest on that situation. Also, we'll tell you what happened at camp today as we had a chance to talk to Michael Penix. You'll hear what he said to us coming up in the 5 o'clock hour.